We're going to cover, I mentioned this, we're going to cover one of the five offerings today. I was going to try and cover them all at once, and after you look at it, you're like, there's no way I can cover all this and really have an impact. So let's go through the offerings real quick. There's the burnt offering. Nope. You don't have to write this down yet. We're going to cover this one today.
I could write it down on the back, though.
You can write anything down you want to. There's the grain offering, not to be confused with a cupcake.
You said we're not going to have
this. We're going to cover these next week or whatever. Well, yeah, so there's a peace offering. Yeah, so this isn't, there's no place for you to write it on the front. You can write it in the back. There's a sin offering, and there's a trespass offering. Anyway, burnt offering, we're going to cover the burnt offering today. These can be divided in different things. Somebody has called these sweet offerings. The sweet smelling savor that they produce before God. These are not called that, so somebody has called these the non-sweet. Does that make them sour? I don't know. Okay? But they can be divided in that way. Some of them are also voluntary, others are mandatory. Okay, that doesn't mean that by voluntary that you never would offer them. You just didn't have to offer them at any particular time, but normally you would offer these. Okay, we'll get into more detail, but we are just today going to cover this one here. And you'll see, I think, why here shortly, why it's worth covering on its own. Yeah, burnt. That sounds like I'm cooking. But it's not. There's a reason why it's called the burnt offering, even though several of these require burning. In fact, all of them are burned in some way, shape, or form. What I want to do is fill this chart out. What? There's 10 slots, actually 8, 2, 6, 8. Two of them are kind of filled up for you at the end, and we'll get to that. But what we want to do is go through and list what was offered. This is Leviticus chapter 1, and then there's also, I gave you a little bit out of Leviticus 6 and one verse out of Leviticus 7. But what was offered, what the offerer did. So if you were the one bringing the offering, what were you responsible to do for this offering? What the priests did, okay? So then this will tell you a lot how hard it was. And then we have three that are rather short. God's portion, the priest's portion, and the offerer's portion of each offering that we'll cover. Okay, and then at the end, how it symbolizes Christ and how it relates to our life today, okay? So let's first go through and read this and list what was offered. Well, let's just fill it out. I'll read it and you can fill stuff out as we go. Okay? Depending upon the different boxes. Okay? How's that sound? All right? Let me start reading here. Now, the Lord called to Moses. And again, this is in your notes. If it's a little small, you can turn to Leviticus 1. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting. Right? The tabernacle that we've talked about. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock. Okay? Let me erase this so that I have more room. So what is offered first? What can we say so far? Livestock. Okay? So when you're talking about the burnt offering, by and large, you're talking about livestock. So that's the general term. So I'm just going to put what here? All right. Livestock. That's not all you'll write there, but livestock. Of the herd and of the flock. Okay, we'll get there. It'll explain that more, so we won't... parse that yet. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd. What's the herd? cattle, yeah. So, I can't say cow because that's actually female, right? Cow. But let's say a bull. And the reason is, we'll state it in a second here, of the herd, but it has to be a male for this offering, okay? So you'll see that here. Let him offer a male without what? Blemish. So you can't bring some old crickety bull. It has to be perfect. All right? You're not getting rid of your junk. You're bringing your best, right? Now notice here, and you might want to underline this, he shall offer it of his own free will. So this one, the burnt offering, was a voluntary offering. Okay, everyone would be offering them, but it was when you wanted to, not a specified time, okay? Then verse 4 here, then he shall... I'm going to put offerer here. And let's list... I'm kind of jumping back and forth because it does that in the passage, okay? What does the offerer do? Now, this is what he does first, okay? He puts his hand on the head. Hand on head. This is in your second box, right? The middle box here. Okay? That isn't all, though. If you had to offer a burnt offering, you put your hand on its head, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. What's atonement mean? No, actually not. Yes. Covering. It covers it. Forgiveness actually came after Jesus died, but it covered the sin, right? So... he shall kill the bull before the Lord. So he had to kill the bull. Kill. Okay? And we'll say kill the sacrifice. Okay? This is what you would have had to do. You're the one killing it. No? No? He shall kill the bull before the Lord. And then here, the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood. So here's the priest. They bring the blood and sprinkle the blood. So they have to collect the blood, if you think of it that way. Sorry. All around the altar. What altar? Yeah, and that was the bronze or brazen altar, right? The big one, right as you go in the door, right? So the first thing you have to do is offer to get right with God, so to speak, okay? Okay. And as I understand it, the offerer still has to skin the sacrifice and cut it into pieces. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that at church? Yeah. Okay, and then the priests would... I'm kind of skipping a little bit, but they will... I'm putting a lot in one. They would burn... the sacrifice. Okay? So they collect the wood, they get the fire going, and then they burn the sacrifice, right? That's the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts of the head and the fat in order on the wood that is on the fire, but he shall wash its entrails and legs with water. And I think that's still him. I know it sounds kind of jumps back and forth, but washes with water. Because then it jumps back and says, the priest shall burn all on the altar. Underline, if you can, in your notes there, it's on verse 9. The priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt offering. Remember, is your all on the altar? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Okay, that relates to the burnt offering. Hang in there with me on that. And notice here, this is another one too. This is, I'm going to put this, I'm going to write it in a different color. But I'll highlight it even though I don't have a place on your sheet here. But it's voluntary.
I don't understand what you mean by that. Is that voluntary?
As opposed to mandatory. They can bring it if they want.
But it has to be a bowl no matter
what. Well, we'll get to that. So this is voluntary, and it's also a sweet aroma to God. Okay? Again, some of the offerings of the five that we listed are voluntary, and some of them are sweet aroma. Not all of them. Okay? Okay, where are we at here? Here in church, young lady. Yes. Okay, now verse 10. Now it starts over. This was of the herd, if I can use that, which meant it was a bull, right? Because it was required to be a male. If his offering is of the flocks, then what could it be? According to verse 10. Sheep or goats. Did you know you could offer a goat?
Did the goat do the same thing? I mean, it was supposed to.
I bet you we'll get there. If he offers the offering of the sheep or the goats as a burnt offering, he shall bring a male without blemish. So there, same thing again, male without blemish, right? He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord. So he still has to kill it. Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood all around, same thing as with the bull. He shall cut it into pieces with its head and fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire on the altar. And he shall wash the entrails and the legs with water. Then the priest shall bring it and burn it, bring it all and burn it on the altar. So again, if you can circle the word all, it's in verse 13, just like in, where did we see all? In verse 9, it said all. That's really the key word for burnt offering.
It says it all.
Yep. And it's a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice, this is verse 14 now, is of the birds. Yeah, so we're going, remember, I think we talked about it last week. Your offering was commensurate with your... Yeah, your ability, your income, your financial status. You didn't get to choose. If you could afford it, that's what you brought. Okay, it wasn't your choice in that way. You couldn't bring pigeons if you could afford something else. Okay, you hurt. No matter who you were, you hurt when you offered. Because it was an expensive ordeal for you. Even if you were poor, it would be hard for you to offer birds because that would be money out of your pocket. Okay? But verse 14, and if the burnt offering of his offering, burnt sacrifice of his offering is to the Lord is of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeons. So turtle doves, you don't necessarily have to write this.
Oh,
I would put birds.
That's
if you want.
Write down birds.
I mean, you can always underline that if you want in your notes. Now, this is a little different. The priest shall bring into the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained at the side of the altar. So the priest killed the birds. You following here? He didn't kill the goat or the bull or the sheep. Okay? And he shall remove its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar. So the head, I think, just throw it down. And kind of gross, isn't it? Anyone hungry?
No.
Not anymore?
No.
Then he shall split it at its wings. So they'll split the bird in half. Not completely, but open it up, if you will. But shall not divide it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made of fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Did you get all that?
So the priest kills the birds.
Yeah, and I don't know why, except maybe because it's so small.
Wait.
You know, it's hard to do steps to a bird. Okay? Questions so far? You can if you want. He kills the birds. There's less to do. Some commentary said, you know, that was really kind of emphasizes the emptiness that the people had who would bring birds even. You know, they couldn't even go through the whole process because it kind of took away some of the responsibility even, so they missed out on part of the lesson, so to speak, because they were just too small to do something with. Now let's look at the next section of verses here. It's chapter 6. Chapter 6 kind of goes through all of the offerings again from a priest standpoint. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. Okay, so he's swinging back around. The burnt offering is talked about in Leviticus 1. Now he spends a few verses on it again. The burnt offering shall be upon the hearth, upon the altar, all night until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. So they kept burning until it was gone. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers. He shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. So now he has to clean ashes out, right? When you think of a priest, you don't think of someone cleaning ashes, do you? Yeah. He puts them beside the altar, and then notice, then he changes his clothes. He takes off his garments, puts on other garments, his work clothes, so his non-priestly garments, and carries the ashes outside the camp. So he cleans the ashes and then carries them outside. Outside the camp. You can just put carries. Cleans and carries the ashes. Camp. Okay. To a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning and shall not be put out. So they had to keep loading that up. Okay? The priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn it on the fat of the peace offerings, which we haven't got to. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. So they had to keep it out. Keep it going. Okay? Now let's go to the next. Everyone got that? Any questions?
Got it.
Does that not teach you a little bit about the burnt offering already? How much work that would have been for any person coming to do that?
That's what I was saying, you know, that's a lot of work.
How would they know, how would someone, or whoever is looking over this, how would they know what a person should bring for an offering?
As far as financial level?
Yeah, yeah. So you cheated, brought a pigeon, and you should have had a goat.
Well, I'm guessing if you owned one, then that's what you should bring.
And the priesthood would be there to
Well, if you think of it this way, if you're offering to God and he's told you what to bring, and you're, this is to be in fellowship with God, if you will, and you don't bring it, you kind of miss the point of the offering, right? So I think it's self-governing. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time and your animal, right? Whatever it might be. So.
Now, with the bull, it would have to be more than one person doing that.
Well, I'm sure the Levites helped, the priests helped, but this guy was required to. There would be more than one person probably offering, too.
But they'd have to do two bulls. I mean.
Yeah, they would.
Each person had.
Yes, they would have. They would be. And how many were there a day? We don't know. So that's a lot of wood, too. And these aren't the only things they burned. There are other sacrifices. Yeah. But it's very blatantly instructional. These offerings are like, there was no way to avoid this bloody, horrible mess. And it showed you how horrible sin was. Right? That was the point of it. We think sin is no big deal, and it's like they would have been reminded all the time how horrible sin was. And sin required my life. Right? And the animal is stepping in for me. Though this is not the sin offering. Even though it makes an atonement, it's an atonement based upon something else that we'll get to here shortly. God's portion. What did God get? I'm not going to write well up God here. What did God get? What went on the altar?
Everything.
Yeah, and I'm going to put all that was burned.
Oh.
Because there's one caveat here that we'll see here shortly. Okay? All that was burned. What did the offerer get? Well, what did they get of the offering? Not from the offering, but what parts of the offering did they get?
Forgiveness.
Well, from the offering itself.
Oh, okay.
What part of the bull did they get to keep? How's that? Huh? None of it. They burned all of it, right? So nothing. Now, you'll say, well, of course, it's a sacrifice. Well, listen, when you get to the peace offering, it was a meal. And the priest got portions of the meat, and you sat down and ate what you offered with other people. So hang in there. So here is nothing, and there's a reason for that. We're getting to this. Okay? The last verse that's in your notes here, what does the priest get? Yeah, the skin. Remember the skin or the hide? So that's the one thing that wasn't burned. Why? I don't know. Well, I know why you keep it, but you could also eat the meat too. But you burn that up. So I don't know why they kept one thing and not other, but God had him, the priest got the skin for that. And maybe that's the way of compensating the priests for doing this too. I know that sounds funny, but that's how they got fed and clothed and all that kind of stuff. So, now, the bottom two squares is what we're going to spend a little more time on here. God got everything that was burned, everything but the skin, basically, right, that was given to the priest. The offerer got nothing. All right? Here's the picture in two ways. And if you have your Bible, we're going to turn to a couple places here. This is quoted out of the Bible Knowledge Commentary. There's lots of different things, and people point out different things, but this I thought was a good summary. The typology, in other words, it represents Christ, okay? The typology of the burnt offering is that while all of the animal offerings pointed forward to the death of Christ, the burnt offering typified Christ's death not so much as bearing sin. You might want to underline that. Not so much as bearing sin as accomplishing the will of God. Okay, so even though atonement is mentioned and all of that, it seems to be that the purpose of the burnt offering in picturing Christ was that he was a complete and full and fulfilling sacrifice. Okay? He accomplished the will of God. He did all of the will of God. He was totally yielded to God and totally did what God wanted him to do. If that makes sense. Christ was the Lamb of God given in complete dedication to the accomplishment of God's will. Underline that sentence there. Christ, you see it there? Christ was the Lamb of God given in complete dedication to the accomplishment of God's will. That's a summary statement. That's how we can see Christ in this offering, okay? Turn to Ephesians 5 now, if you would. We're going to be back to this too, so you might want to put a marker in it. This is, you look at this and you go, this is gross. This is horrible. I'd hate to, you know, it's kind of even tough to clean fish, you know. Not anymore for me, I suppose. I haven't done it in years. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Notice it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. And notice this, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. Notice the phrasing here. What does it say? For a sweet smelling aroma. What is it referring to? This offering. Christ as the burnt offering. Guess what? Listen, if I can tell you, the sin offering and the trespass offering were not sweet smelling aroma offerings. Remember, those were the non-sweet ones. This is a different one. And by the way, it seems to tie in with our dedication or obedience. Okay, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. Philippians 2:8 you're familiar with. It's just a couple pages over probably in your Bible. Mine was one page turn. Jesus is speaking of Jesus here. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So it's the burnt offering pictures the idea of total obedience. All of me, right? They burned what? All the sacrifice. You know, ignore the skin idea. But they burned all the sacrifice. That's the key idea with burnt offering, okay? All right? Hebrews 10. It's the coffee epistle. Hebrews, Thomas. Hebrews. Sorry. Who makes the coffee? Well, it's biblical. The man does. Why? Hebrews.
Hebrews what?
Hebrews 10, 5 through 7. I'm trying to make a joke and she's trying to find the passage.
You're not funny.
I kind of noticed that almost nobody laughed.
I'm laughing at Georgia. She's funny.
Yes, she is. Verse 5, getting back to non-Georgia things here. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, what? To do your will, O God. So the burnt offering had to do with fully doing God's will. Total obedience. Okay? Are you with me so far? What does it mean? If we have to use two words for the burnt offering, it signifies what? Total obedience. Say that with me. Total obedience. All of me. Say that. All of me. All right. Now, bring it full circle here. Look in the last square on your page. Fellowship with God. What does it symbolize? Did I blank that out or not? I didn't, do you? Fellowship with God through our total consecration to Him. That's what this represents in the New Testament here. Now, with all that we've talked about, let me read the passage that's before us there. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay? And tell me what you recognize out of this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What do you recognize here? Yeah, acceptable offering. Do you get the idea of total obedience here?
Yeah.
When Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, he's relating to that burnt offering. The only thing is we're not burning ourselves. But we are giving all of us. In my entirety, I'm offering my life to God. Every bit of me. That's the picture of total obedience. Present your bodies. Every bit of you. What part of you is not your body? Well, you know, your clothes, right? But that's what I'm talking about. The answer is, my body is me. Okay, there's my soul, but guess where that lives? Right? It's inside your body. It's all there. That's why Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Where your body goes, everything else goes with it, right? Your soul can't be somebody else, somewhere else until you die. Okay? Apart from your body. God wants all of us. He wants all of you as a sacrifice. And that's what it pictures. Paul brings that from the Old Testament. And he says, present your bodies, instead of that whole burnt sacrifice, present your bodies a whole living sacrifice. And how should it be? This relates to the Old Testament. Without blemish, right? Holy, acceptable to God. And by the way, the word reasonable service, it comes from the Greek word which we use for logical. Okay? And service, there's different words for service in the Bible. This one is, latreia. It could actually be translated temple worship. It's not service as in ministry, like oftentimes it's translated, we should not leave the word of God to service tables. It's not the word for diakonos or even to slave. It's latreia, which is worship. It's your reasonable form of worship. Okay, so Paul, pulling out of the Old Testament the burnt offering idea, says it is reasonable because of what God has done for you, the mercies of God for you, that you are to present all of you in your entirety to God for His service, and that is your reasonable worship. And then it goes on to explain it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. What's the will of God? What God wants you to do. Total submission, total consecration to Him. Isn't that a beautiful picture from the Old Testament? Isn't that changing? How much of it was burnt? All of it. Paul says, present your bodies, your entire body, a living sacrifice. And that's your reasonable worship. Okay? Now, let's go back to, I told you to be back to Ephesians 5. Let's turn back there. You probably lost it by now. But if it's still in your Bible, you can find it, right? Now, I want you to think of this, that these are not really in the order in which they offered them, they said. The different commentaries kind of point this out, because they would start with the sin offerings and stuff like that. But from a standpoint of serving God, He wants all of you. He wants you in your entirety, and the Bible is clear about that. Ephesians 5 brings this out. We've already referred to it a little bit, but notice what it has to say about you and I living holy for God in total obedience to Him. What is obedience? Doing what God wants us to and not doing what God doesn't want us to do. Would that be a fair way to say it? Look at Ephesians 5 now, because it tells us what to do and what not to do in a way. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And notice here, and walk in love. That's something to do, right? As Christ also has loved us. We're supposed to walk just as Christ loved. We're supposed to love just as Christ loved, right? Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Again, that picture is a burnt offering, because the sin offerings were not sweet-smelling aroma offerings. Okay, so it's this offering this time. But notice here what it says. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. He lists all this stuff that because we're a total sacrifice, we should not be doing. Okay? So when we're sacrificed to God, we're not living in fornication. We're not living even by using bad words, the Bible talks about. Coarse jesting and so on. Verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. Do not do what unsaved people do. You be that whole total obedient sacrifice. You be all there obeying God, every part of you. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Don't live like dark people, people in the dark. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Doesn't that ring of Romans 12? Proving what is good and acceptable to God. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So the burnt offering is an offering with the idea that says, I'm totally consecrated to you, Lord. I'm totally in to serve you. So it's not an offering so much to cover sin, even though there's an atonement idea, but it's like to say, as Christ did, I'm all in, not my will, but yours be done. I believe Christ prayed, right? I'm the same way. Lord, take me, I'm yours. My all is on the altar. Just like that song that is your all on the altar, right? My all is on the altar. It's referring to the burnt offering, because all of it was there. Okay? And that's what God wants. God wants us to be fully serving Him. And it was a sacrifice of servanthood. It was a sacrifice of dedication to say, God, I belong to you fully. And you see that in Christ, and you see that for us in the New Testament, that we are to be the same. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Can I take you to one other place since we have a little bit of time in? Remember Romans 12, present your bodies a living sacrifice? Paul had already talked about that in Romans 6. Turn to Romans 6, please. And then that's where I'll quit, unless you have questions.
I've got a comment after we get done here.
All right.
I mean, it has kind of sort of involved it.
Okay.
About sacrifices.
Excuse me for coughing. Thank you, Georgia. I'm going to start in verse 1. This is an amazing passage. And again, when you memorize Romans 12, 1 and 2, like many of us have done, do you realize that there's a context that Paul has already talked about this 6 chapters before in much more detail? He's summarizing in Romans chapter 12. Notice what he says here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. The King James would say, God forbid. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, there's that spirit baptism we talked about this morning, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in newness of life. That sounds just like Ephesians 5 that we just read. Okay? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, which we have, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6 now, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. It talks past tense about all this, because we're in Christ, so our old man has been crucified. Why? That the body of sin might be done away with, and notice that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died, and we have died in Christ, has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Now, verse 11, now notice how it picks up. It's not done yet. We died with Christ, okay? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, by the way, there's that being a living sacrifice rather than a dead one, right? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. That is a command.
That is a command.
Wow. That you should obey it in its lust. And verse 13, do not present your members. You can translate members, body parts. Members of your body, your physical body. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members, your body parts, as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves, slaves to obey? You are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, by the way, that's past tense, you have become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members, your body parts, as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So Paul then goes on to say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your bodies. A living sacrifice. He's referring back to what he's already talked about for an entire chapter in Romans 6. All your entire body, every part of your body, you present your body, all of it, like a burnt offering, as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your logical response to God. It was an offering of servanthood, of dedication, of saying, God, I am all yours. Questions or comments?
Yes. With all these people getting burned or their heads cut off, Christians, they're giving their body to the Lord and sacrificing to Him and not anybody else. Right?
Well, you're assuming that they're true Christians, which we don't know for sure, like the Coptic Christians. They're certainly not Muslim. They were 21 men were beheaded. It's interesting that you say, though, because Paul, when he was getting ready to die, understood that he was going to get beheaded. And he said, I'm being poured out. And that sounds very graphic. But he basically said, it's a sacrifice to God. My life is a sacrifice to Him. So in a very real sense, he saw himself as a sacrifice when he was being put to death. Yeah. It's kind of gross because we don't like to think in those terms, but that's exactly how he saw it. For me to live is what? Christ, and to die is what? Total gain. Total gain. I can stay here with you or go to be with Christ, which is far better. I mean, it was pretty good this morning with the cupcakes. And it's far better in heaven. Other questions or comments?
It's amazing what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us.
Well, and there's so much there. And if we understand what they did in the Old Testament with this offering and understand what God expects for us now, I've shared over and over, a lot of people think, well, I'm saved and now I can go do whatever I want. And it's like, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you were slaves to sin, now you're slaves to whom? God. Slaves to righteousness.
There you go.
Right? And you're to present, that's your logical response, is to totally dedicate your entire body and all of its activities to God. And that was pictured in the Old Testament to the burnt sacrifice. Pretty cool. Pretty powerfully cool.
Powerful.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Hey, we got another hour yet. It's only 11:03. Don't think we'll get by with that one. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And Lord, I know that we can never understand the Bible perfectly. But Lord, what we can see sure makes a lot of sense. And Lord, it really needs to impact us here that, Lord, just as the Israelites in the Old Testament had to give something extremely valuable to say to you that they are fully belonging to you, help us to do that by being a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to you, which is our logical response to what you've done for us because of all your mercies in our lives. We pray that you would, Lord, mature us, grow us, change us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.